For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Tuesday morning to you, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily. Tommy Kester along with Paul Savage in for Jacob Albrecht today. Jad Chambers, as always, producing our program. Appreciate you joining us here as we get you ready for the week ahead. It was a busy weekend, busy holiday weekend. Hope everybody enjoyed their Labor Day holiday, and we are excited to be here today. That IHOP hotline is open all morning for you, 869-1240. By the way, speaking of IHOP, IHOP is excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal. Sounds pretty delicious to me. You can get that between now and September 15th. On the program today, we will talk with our friend Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman about the recent struggles for the Kansas City Royals. That will be coming up a little bit later on in hour number one. Kicking off hour number two, Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, will join us to talk a little bit about the Chiefs getting ready for their opener in just over 48 hours from now. Like I mentioned, it's a busy week, and we appreciate you listening, whether you're listening on KFH, online, on the Odyssey app, also watching our video stream, which you can find on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, and simulcasting on 12 News Connected. Paul Savage, good morning, my friend.
How are you doing, big boy? You doing okay? Did you have a good holiday weekend? I mean,
I did.
That Monday is always kind of a fun Monday, but then you got to go back to work on Tuesday. You know, I get that. But anyway, you had a good weekend?
Yeah, it was a good weekend.
Good.
Here's the thing about...
Okay.
Three-day weekends.
Yes, what?
You know, I remember before I had kids, and it was like a three-day party. You know, you get that time off work. You probably are having one last hurrah at the pool.
Right.
You know, you're barbecuing. I might be playing golf. You know, enjoying some adult beverages,
right,
like that
sure
sort of thing. I might be more tired today than I was at the beginning of the weekend, just chasing around the kiddos all weekend. But it was fun. It was a good weekend. I took my three-year-old to a Wind Surge game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That was fun. Beautiful weather on Saturday night. Actually, beautiful weather basically all weekend. So it was perfect. And then, just kind of chased him around for the rest of the weekend. How about you?
By the way, saw you and your boy on Facebook.
Yeah.
Looked like he was having a ball. He had his glove the whole bit.
Yeah.
Did he even get close to sniffing a baseball?
He actually got a like a soft foam baseball.
Oh,
like they
cool.
were throwing him out.
And good for him.
And somebody, which I thought this was incredible, and I never caught the guy's name, but a man got one of those foam giveaway baseballs and just gave it to Cooper.
Oh,
just gave it to him.
Good. That's a beautiful thing.
And my three-year-old is very inquisitive. He asks a lot of questions. He's at that point in his life. And so for the rest of the game, he kept saying, "Daddy, why did that man give me his baseball?" I'm like, "Well, he wanted to be nice. He wanted to do something nice for you."
Let me just say this about baseball. That is the nature of baseball.
Yeah.
That is the nature of baseball fans. Try that at an NFL game. See what you get given
right.
to you.
Yeah.
Try that. Yeah, that maybe a punch in the face is what you'd get.
Yeah.
But that's the beautiful thing about baseball. And all the time we see highlights of a fan getting a foul ball and looking around and saying, I'm going to give this to somebody, and gives it to a youngster. Oh, and those kids light up. But that's the beautiful thing about baseball. Baseball is like family, a lot more than some of the other sports. I hate to say that, but it is a lot more than football, I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. And, you know, the Wind Surge, they do a great job with all the giveaways and the promotions and things like that. The only thing that I've got a little bit of a bone to pick
in
the game, and I didn't even think about bringing this up until right now, but, you know, they do all these giveaways, they do these promotions.
Well, yeah,
and,
that's good, though.
You know, one of the giveaways they do, and I don't know if I'm calling it the right thing or not, but it's like the ice cream sandwich toss.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they've got their promotions team that they stand up on the dugouts and they're throwing ice cream sandwiches to the crowd, right? And literally one lands right at the feet of my son. And in that moment, and it's just me and him, and he's 3 years old, right?
Okay.
You know, so I don't have my wife as a reinforcement, you know, as backup to help take care of him. My first thought is, that's the last thing my kid needs is some sugar, you know, right now at 7 o'clock in the evening watching a baseball game. He'd already had Cracker Jacks. He had already had, I don't even, candy. He'd had all these other things. And here comes an ice cream sandwich landing right at his feet.
Yeah, you're a great dad, all right. Boy, I wish you were my dad.
Man. So, I probably...
Come on, you're at a ballpark, for God's sakes.
I know, I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't... Nobody else is going to have to deal with the kid all hopped up on sugar except for me. Okay. Like, that's my cross to bear in that moment.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, so no, it was great. We had a great time and really enjoyed it. Yes, Jad?
I was just going to say, maybe after fifth inning, after the bottom of the fifth inning, you stop selling or you stop giving away on sugar for the parents out there.
I like that. You know, it's kind of like how, you know, the places like that, they stop beer sales.
Exactly.
You know, like middle of the eighth inning, just to make sure that everybody can drive home.
You guys are fun. You guys are really fun. I
stop
can tell
sugar
you.
Sales for people under the age of, what, eight?
Yeah.
Or something like that after the fifth inning.
Make sure I go to a ball game with you two.
You know, I'm a classic fan, though. Like, I enjoy, in fact, at one point, I had a bag of peanuts. My son had a bag of Cracker Jack. And it was like, take me out to the ball game right there.
Cracker Jacks, it's in the song.
In person, it was perfect. So really enjoyed it. We're going to kick off the show today talking baseball. And here's the thing, Paul. It's interesting. I was thinking about this before we got going today. We had both in-state college football teams, D1 teams, playing over the weekend.
Correct.
Of course, KU played on Thursday.
Right. Well,
Kansas
that's
State
right.
played on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right.
Both of those teams played. The defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, they play their game in just over 48 hours from
that's
now.
Right. That's right.
You know, kicking off their season against the Baltimore Ravens inside Arrowhead. It's September 3rd, and we're going to lead off the show today talking about the Kansas City Royals.
Well, we got to.
Which is insane. I mean, it's crazy to me that we're in this place. And we'll get into what the weekend held for the Royals in just a second. But just at its surface, it's crazy to me that we are in the final month of the regular season in Major League Baseball. Football has kicked off everywhere around us, and we're leading off the show talking about baseball.
And it's a bummer. It's a bummer, you know, rap about this thing. We're going to talk about the Royals, and it's not going to be enjoyable. It's not going to be fun, but go ahead. I mean, get it started. I mean, we gotta do it. We might as well get it over with right now because, you know, here we are. We've got, you know, a three-peat that we're going to be talking about here in just a little bit on this show.
Yeah.
A three-peat for the Kansas City Chiefs. And,
well, yeah.
And that, but we're going to talk about Royals baseball.
We are.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm proud of the Royals. I can't believe they're where they are and how good they've done, what their overall record is, the fact that they're only 4.5 games out of first, which, by the way, they were tied. They were tied it for the lead of the division, what, 8 days ago?
Less than a week ago. It was
less than a week.
Wednesday.
So a week, almost, well, yeah. 6 days, yeah.
Six days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, Paul, that there has been a team that has had such a swing of their fortune in less than a week's time than the Kansas City Royals.
Oh, my.
This team just cannot catch a break. They're riding a 6-game losing streak. It's their longest of the season right now. They go to Houston, they get swept by the Astros, and then all of a sudden they come back home on Monday and they lose a Labor Day game at home in front of a really good crowd at Kauffman to the Guardians, the team that they're chasing.
Correct.
That by itself is bad enough.
Right.
And then you layer in some of the other things that have happened to them over the course of the week. Vinny Pasquantino, we discussed it Friday. That news came down breaking Friday morning.
Yep.
He's out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken thumb.
Yep.
Will he make it back in time for a potential playoff run? I mean, that remains to be seen how far the Royals will go in the playoffs. So he is dealing with an injury. You've got other pitching injuries. Michael Lorenzen on the IL. Lucas Ercik was injured on that same play with Vinny Pasquantino. Doesn't look like his, you know, injury is nearly as severe as what Pasquantino faced, but still dealing with that. You've got Hunter Harvey, who was one of your trade acquisitions before the deadline, who was slated to have a fairly high leverage role in that Royals bullpen, go down with an injury. His return remains to be seen. And then they bring in these reinforcements off of waivers over the weekend. I thought they probably would. They needed some reinforcements. They bring in Tommy Pham. They claimed him off waivers from the Cardinals. They bring in Robbie Grossman, claimed him off waivers from the Rangers. And they trade for Yuli Gurriel, who Gurriel, by the way, when his prime and his heyday, hit a bunch of home runs for Houston. They bring him in, and he exits the game yesterday with a hamstring injury. And so who knows, you know, if he'll return and what that will look like. So they just can't catch a break. And then the cherry on top of it, Paul, and I, you know, we're not going to speculate on this. I don't know what's going on. Their manager, Matt Quatrero, was not with the team yesterday dealing with a personal matter, and their bench coach had to serve as interim manager for the game yesterday. So this is a team desperate for a break. They need a day off. They will get one this week. But it's been just a brutal stretch of baseball for the Royals. On a scale of 1 to 10, right now, knowing that they're riding this losing streak, how concerned are you about the Royals overall and their prospects for the playoffs?
Very concerned. I mean, and not in the fact that they're not going to at least get a wild card. We think they'll still get a
They've got a healthy lead in the wild card race still.
But they've got but I mean, that can go pretty quick. I mean, there's still almost a month. There's almost a month of baseball left. So,
yeah.
You know, it makes you think to yourself, you know, somewhere this little streak, and this happens all the time in baseball. That's the unique thing about baseball. You have these slumps. But Jiminy Christmas, Tommy, we're in September. This is it. We're in the last month. You're going to play postseason baseball in what, 3 weeks? A little over 3 weeks, but you get to drift. I'm just saying that, yes, I am concerned, but it's still baseball. But, man, it's getting too late in the season just to be baseball. It's baseball. Yeah, but it's getting late in the season for that. You know, you can't have a six-game losing streak. You can't have a six-game. And even say you limp in to the wild card. Say you do that. How confident would you be with this team at this point, playing the way they're playing, having the injuries that they have? How confident are you that they can even, you know, get through the wild card and into the regular playoffs and make a run? I mean, I would be a little concerned.
Yeah.
I would be, if it was me and I was managing that team, I'd be a little concerned.
I do believe that the rotation, and we're going to get into this more with our buddy Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kaufman here in just a little bit to talk about the Royals at 9:30, but you know, their rotation is set up for a short playoff series, so that is a positive, I think, for the Royals. Mm-hmm. But offensively, I mean, they clearly are missing the pop of Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup. They did for sure over the weekend with the Astros. So that's a major issue. They were limited in what they could do in bringing in some reinforcements. And you know what? Tommy Pham has been pretty darn good for the Royals, batting leadoff, mm-hmm. You know, since in just a couple of games coming over from the Cardinals. They were limited in who they could pick up on the waiver wire and that sort of thing. I'm most concerned offensively for them. You know, what do they do? How are they able to get a spark, you know, offensively with the bats? That's going to be the major challenge, you know, I think, for the Royals. They scored 2 runs yesterday, Paul, against the Guardians, 2 runs against the Astros on Sunday, 2 runs against the Astros on Saturday. They've scored 2 runs basically every game since Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's been a challenge for them to get runners across. Even that opener against the Astros on Thursday, they only scored 3. So it's been a minute since we've seen a big kind of offensive explosion from Kansas City. And I'm not exactly sure what they can do to turn that around, you know, outside of just getting more consistent production. But they're really missing Pasquantino in the middle of that lineup.
Well, and there's no question about that. And I like the way you've referred to it as that pop in the lineup. And that is the pop in the lineup that's hurting them. But it just seems like no matter what they do, you know, that there's just going to be the problem. But here's the thing. About the wild card. It's so short, it's so fast. I mean, it's here, it's there, it's gone, then all of a sudden you're into the regular rotation for a World Series championship. I mean, it just concerns me that a week ago, because the time period is so short now, we're now less than 4 weeks left in the regular season. And it's just a concern to me that 6 days ago, thank you for pointing, I thought it was 8 days ago, 6 days ago, the Royals were tied for first in the division.
They
with
had the
Guardians.
Tiebreaker, too, by the way.
Oh, they had the tiebreaker. I forgot about that. Yeah,
had
that's
the
right.
season ended on that day, they would have been the AL Central champions.
Right. And then to drop literally six days, now you're 4.5 games out? Yeah. I mean, Tommy, there's something that to be said what's going on, because you're right. Six games in a row, granted it's not the White Sox territory, six games in a row.
Nobody's in the White Sox territory.
That's a category of their own. But the point is that you've got to be concerned. If you're a Royals fan, you've got to be concerned. And I think both you and I are.
I for sure am.
I know.
And J.J. Piccolo, to his credit, has been very aggressive even before the trade deadline at bringing in reinforcements to get this team over the hump. And there have just been some pretty unfortunate injuries, whether you're talking about Harvey or Lorenzen, now Pasquantino, Yuli Gurriel going down with a hamstring injury. It's like everything that they're trying to do, I know Pasquantino is not an acquisition, but those other guys are. Every single thing you're trying to do acquisition-wise, these guys are ending up getting injured. We're in the dog days now, Paul. There's only, like you mentioned, 4 weeks left of the regular season, and you know, every game for a long time has been critical for Kansas City, but especially here down the stretch. And this series in a bubble absolutely is, considering they're playing the Guardians, who, as you just mentioned, they were tied for the AL Central lead less than a week ago. Now they're 4.5 games back, just like that.
That hurts.
You've got to get these games at home starting tonight against the Guardians. You have to get this turned around. That's going to be easier said than done, and we'll talk about how that can happen coming up in just a little bit. Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman will join us at 9:30. We'll step aside for a quick timeout on the other side. Let's get into K-State real quick. We'll have more on the Wildcats later on in the show, but I want to mention their game on Saturday, the beginning of the official Avery Johnson era in Manhattan. We'll talk about that next. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Jad Chambers, Sports Daily, coming right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, everybody. Just a reminder, the baseball coverage on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. The Royals will be right here on KFH and on the Odyssey app tonight at 7 o'clock hosting the Guardians. We'll have more about the Royals coming up in just a few minutes with Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman. That's coming up around 9:30 this morning. But Paul, very quickly, let's shift gears here. K-State had their opening game Saturday night. Again, it was a beautiful evening for football up in Manhattan at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. The Wildcats take on UT Martin. They coasted to victory. It ended up being, a 41-6 win for the Wildcats on Saturday. We saw Avery Johnson take the helm. It's his team now, and that's, you know, obviously the number one storyline coming out of that game. It kind of reminds me a little bit of on Friday when you and I discussed KU and Lindenwood, how it's hard to have a bunch of takeaways when you're playing an FCS team. But still, I think that a lot of what happened in that game followed a similar script to what happened in the KU Lindenwood game. It was sloppy a little bit for the K-State offense, especially early on. The defense looked really solid for the Wildcats. And really, aside from that, you just kind of mark it on the win-loss record as a victory for the Wildcats and move on. It'll be a much tougher test this weekend on the road at Tulane.
Well, I mean, we could go over, well, you know, the Wildcats played well, but it's UT Martin. You know, yeah. I'm not even sure what town that is. That's probably in Martin, Tennessee, I guess is probably what it is. I don't know. But, you know, I don't want to put too much emphasis on this particular game. The fact is they got the cobwebs off from last year, so now they've got it up and going. But I'm not going to read too much into that. They were more physical, obviously. They had that touchdown that I was wondering about on special teams. You like to see. Mm-hmm. In this time,
Dylan Edwards looked really good.
He did.
You know, and I've been wondering all offseason, as soon as he announced he was transferring to K-State, would he be, you know, somebody that would get a bunch of snaps, or would they ease him in alongside DJ Giddens? What would that look like for the Wildcats? And he, you know, he, at least in this opening game, was pretty effective, and they gave him the ball quite a bit.
Right. Well, he had five carries. He averaged about nine yeah. yards a carry, which is darn good.
Sure, absolutely.
And will that be the same when they play Utah? Probably not, but the fact is that this was the first game. So you like to see that Avery Johnson. You know, you would like to have seen him with maybe a little more downfield. I didn't think he stretched the field as well as he could have, but a lot of that's not up to him, and so you take what you can get and whatever sometimes the coaches are calling. I believe Avery Johnson would have had a lot better chance to stretch the field, you know, if this had been a bigger time opponent. But with that being said, the one thing I liked about this game was my one win on football picks. My pick,
that was your one? That was your only one?
I went 1-4. Thank goodness. This was a 36-point spread. And K-State won by 35. There you go.
Yeah. A little rough.
I stunk up the week.
A little rough.
None of us smelled like roses.
Yeah, it's tough when you've got, you know, games like that and everybody's an unknown opening up the season. It makes it a little difficult.
Yeah.
So, of course, we'll have a recap of those picks and we'll pick new games coming up on Friday in our Friday football picks segment of the program. We'll have more on K-State. I actually have a question in hour two I want to ask you.
Let's do it.
Regarding the Wildcats, and it even relates to the Jayhawks too. So we'll talk about that in hour number two. On the other side, we'll be joined by Mike Gillespie. Kings of Kauffman will go back to the Royals. Talk about the rough stretch of baseball that we've seen over the last 6 days. That's on the other side on Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH on this Tuesday. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, in for Jacob Albrock today. Jad Chambers producing the program. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. Appreciate you joining us today on the program. Also joining us here on Sports Daily Now, our friend Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman joining us. If you're watching our video stream, we've got Mike joining us here via video on our Sports Daily live video stream. And we've got a lot to talk about, Mike. First off, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be back.
You know, Mike, I'm not sure that there's a team out there that has had quite a change in their fortune and quite a turn of events in just less than a week's time than the Kansas City Royals have faced since that fourth game, that finale in Cleveland on Thursday. From then until now, it's almost been kind of free fall, and there's been some really unfortunate developments with the Royals. And, you know, we're going to dive right into it. Paul and I talked about it at the top of the show, but first off, from a 30,000-foot view, what's your biggest assessment, your biggest takeaway from what you've seen over the last week from the Royals?
Well, besides the fact that they now have the longest losing streak they've had all season, you know, I think what you're seeing from this team right now is some fatigue. You know, I noticed it really strongly for the first time in that fourth game at Cleveland. They look tired. I don't want to say that they look, you know, disinterested or anything like that. They just look fatigued, you know, especially at the plate. And you add to that losing the almost 100 RBI production of Vinny Pasquantino, People get excited when they signed Yuli Gurriel, who I think was just a great out-of-the-blue acquisition. He goes down yesterday. We still don't know for how long. There's a little bit of uncertainty on that injured list. And when it gets right down to it, you have a team that right now is just surrounded by so much uncertainty. And, you know, it doesn't help that they've got Cleveland back in, Minnesota this weekend, and yeah. then they go to the Bronx. It's a tough stretch.
You know, when we looked at this particular schedule, I mean, Tommy and I were just, you know, 6 days ago talking about the fact with the Guardians being tied, you know, that it was, you know, both the Guardians and the Royals had the same record, tied for first in the Central. I mean, it was really something. And then to have this kind of fall off, we were talking earlier in this show with regards to the timing of the year. This becomes more difficult to get it back on track, doesn't it? Aren't we at that time of year where you lose six straight? You know, this isn't April. This isn't May. This isn't early June. This is now September. Talk a little about in your thought process with regards, how much harder, if it is harder in your opinion, does it to get back on track and get to that point where you're playing Royals baseball that we've come to really enjoy over the course of this particular season?
Oh, I think it's infinitely more difficult. You know, there isn't, you can't have that mindset anymore like you can in April or May or even June that, hey, we've got plenty of time to get this straightened out. There's 23 games left on this schedule. An injury, you know, the importance and impact of injuries is incredibly magnified right now. Can you get somebody back from the injured list? Look at Vinny. He's not going to be back until deep in the playoffs, in my opinion. But there aren't those cushions anymore. And, you know, compounding that is if you lose a player like Pasquantino, your option is replace him with somebody on the roster, dip into the minor leagues where there isn't a whole lot, or pull off that minor league trade that's, you know, the only exception to the trade deadline right now. And there isn't a lot out there. Gurriel was a great acquisition, like I say, but it's crunch time, and anything that happens, a loss, a win, is just magnified so much. It's tough right now. You know, they've got that 4.5 wild card game lead over Boston. They're going to have to hope that's enough, because I don't think they're going to win the division.
Oh, my. Yeah, I mean, it really, honestly, Mike, yeah. it's going to come down yeah. to the next couple of games against Cleveland if they can get themselves back in the race. It's just wild to think about the fact that less than a week ago, not only were they tied with the Guardians for the AL Central lead, but they had the tiebreaker. And so, you know, had the season ended on that day, they would have ended up, you know, winning the AL Central. It's interesting because, you know, I think Paul and I discussed on Friday. No, I guess it would have been Jacob and I on Wednesday. We discussed Thursday, when the comeback happened against the Guardians, when it looked like the Royals could sweep the series against Cleveland in Cleveland, and then the late game comeback, and Michael Wacha was left in the game probably a little too long. Lucas Ersig, right. You know, had not a great, you know, outing, and there were some bad defensive issues and that sort of thing in that, what was it, seventh inning or whatever for Cleveland. At the time, I thought, okay, well, that's just one game, like still getting 3 out of 4 from the Guardians is great, and you can move forward and feel still really good about where you're at. And at that point, it was almost like everything just fell off a cliff. And I know that you said that, you know, you wouldn't use the word disinterested, and I wouldn't use that word either. But I think, at least from what I can tell, I mean, body language says a lot. And, you know, not only are they tired and fatigued, but I think you can also tell as soon as Pasquantino went down with that injury, it was almost like, you know, the air was just sucked out of the building, and it's almost carried on and been that way ever since.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the impact of that injury, I think, was pretty obvious at the time it happened. Because the, you know, the Royals, and I even wrote a little bit about this, they look shell-shocked.
Yeah.
As soon as that happened, and, you know, anybody watching that game who has watched a lot of baseball, or a lot of sports for that matter, knew the way Pasquantino went down that that was a serious deal. You know, he not only wasn't going to stay in the game, but he wasn't going to be back for a while. Quatrero looked shocked. Bobby Witt Jr. Looked just dismayed.
Yeah.
And I think you're right that when we look back on this season, if the Royals don't get into the playoffs, I think you're going to be able to look back at that and say that's when it started.
You know, when you look at the overall world of Major League Baseball, particularly in the American League, the Yankees and Baltimore are clearly really two of the best teams in the entire American League. But you know, the Guardians are one game back. The you look at Houston, they've got 75 wins. Break down this hierarchy of baseball right now in the American League. Who do you like? Who do you think is going to make that run in the last 20-some games of the regular season? Who do you like right now to win the American League and go to the World Series?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, one of the really fascinating things about this season is you look at it, as you say, the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Astros. In some ways, those are clubs that have overcome an awful lot. I mean, look at Houston. They were 10 games behind at one point. And suddenly, they burst out of nowhere. If I had to pick an American League pennant winner right now, as much as I'd like to pick the Royals, I can't. I'm not going to go into all the reasons that I'm not a big Houston fan, but I'd have to pick the Astros. I think right now they're the cream of the American League crop.
You know, Mike, I think with all of the, you know, negativity, you know, obviously bringing everybody down on this Tuesday, but for good reason, it's been, you know, a rough stretch for the Royals. I think that one silver lining, at least that I can think of, and there are probably a few out there, but one off the top of my head, is that J.J. Piccolo has been relentless in trying to add reinforcements and try to make this team better. Now, unfortunately, you know, some of those reinforcements have found themselves on the injured list and, you know, that sort of thing, whether you're talking about Hunter Harvey, you know, Michael Lorenzen, now Yuli Gurriel, you know, is dealing with that hamstring injury. But he's been, you know, definitely aggressive, whether we're talking at the trade deadline or, you know, here recently with rosters expanding and the waiver wires and all of that. Tommy Pham is now a Royal and he's, you know, found himself, I think, pretty productive in just a small sample size the first couple of games in a Royals uniform. I think that, you know, not that he can continue to be this aggressive during the final month of the season because things are severely limited here on out, but I do think that that's been a positive sign that, you know, at least big picture wise, the Royals are aggressive in trying to find ways to make their team better.
Yeah, I agree. I spent some time with J.J. Piccolo a couple of winters ago at a media event he had at the stadium. And it was the first time I'd met him. I was overwhelmingly impressed with him. And, you know, I immediately decided in my own mind that he was not a Dayton Moore clone. You know, as much as Moore did for a few years for the Royals, he still had a lot of baseball faults, in my opinion. But Piccolo is a guy who's not afraid to go out and make a move. I don't know that anybody expected him to go out and get Tommy Pham. But I think he got Tommy Pham for two reasons. One, I think they're a tiny bit uncertain about Renfro's status. He can come off the injured list tomorrow or the next day. But now they're talking about, maybe not till the weekend, but Pham is going to bring some fire to this team. And that's kind of what they needed. But you're right. JJ is not giving up on this team. JJ Piccolo isn't going to give up on him at all. He might slow down a little bit if they get eliminated, but I really like him. He's been good for him. And
following up on that, Mike, you know, Piccolo mentioned with those acquisitions that, you know, they know that they can't replace Vinny Pasquantino just solely with one player. But I think his words were they can try to find a way to replace him in the aggregate by bringing in Tommy Pham and Robbie Grossman and, you know, of course, Gurriel. I don't know what his status is going to be moving forward. But I do think that begs a really good question. I can already see pitchers approaching this Royals lineup differently without Pasquantino in the middle of the lineup. You don't have to worry about the three-headed monster of Witt and Perez and Pasquantino. You just have to get through Witt and Perez. So in the final 23 games in this season, and it might very well be, Mike, that the Royals are desperately clinging for dear life onto a wild card spot, is there anything you think that Matt Quatrero can do to mitigate this in the lineup, to maybe try to find, you know, some more pop in that lineup, or to try to find a way, you know, depending on who's pitching against them, to at least soften the blow of losing Vinny Pasquantino?
Yeah, it really becomes a situation, I think, where the Royals have to look inside and say, what can we do a little bit differently? And when you look at Witt and Garcia, who's got a lot of stolen bases, I think they have to pick up the running game. They're going to have to make things happen on the base paths. They kind of have been inconsistent all season with that. They were stealing a lot of bases early in the season. Now, not so much. But yeah, they're going to have to do things to manufacture runs, get those guys on base, and cut them loose.
You know, I'd like to know, Mike, that Tommy went through a nice list of guys that the Royals have been looking at, trying to acquire, have acquired. Mm-hmm. A couple of them are, one of them's already gotten hurt. But you know something? We got a bunch of guys that we're going to have to watch. We're going to have to look at. We're going to have to see how they do. I want your opinion, though. Give me your opinion on all the guys that are just now coming in. The Royals are acquiring the guy. Maybe it might be that you know something we don't know, that the Royals are going to acquire somebody you're pretty sure about. What's the one name? Give me the one name that I need to make sure I'm checking in on and making sure that seeing how he's doing, that will tell me just exactly where are the Royals for the rest of this season going into the wild card. Who's that one name that you're going to be checking on every day?
Well, let me give you two.
All right, give me two.
I've been watching Bobby Witt pretty closely. Bobby is one of the players who's looking kind of worn out. He's what did I say in my story last night? He's 2-for-19 in the last five. Have been home runs. Well, yeah, that's fine, but. If he's slow, that's not going to be very good for the Royals. So I'm keeping a really close eye on him. They're not going to make the playoffs if he goes into a 2 or 3 week slump. The other player, believe it or not, that I've got in the back of my mind, I don't know that he's a make or breaker, but if Gurriel goes on the injured list, And something that a lot of people don't realize is when they traded for him Saturday, he was on the injured list at AAA Gwinnett with, guess what, a hamstring strain, yeah, which is what kicked him out of the game yesterday. They may, even though I don't think they're particularly fond of the idea, they may have to dip down into Omaha and bring up Nick Prado. And if Prado comes up and can give him a couple of weeks of just average hitting and a few homers that he's capable of hitting, that could be a big boon. Do I think that's going to happen? It all depends on Gurriel.
Talking to Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman. Mike, a few minutes left here to chat with you. You know, we talked a lot about the offense for Kansas City. The pitching looks tired. You mentioned Bobby Witt Jr. looking tired. I know that they tried to, I think he was the DH over the weekend for one of the games, just to give him at least a little bit of a rest because, you know, I think everybody is pretty fatigued at this point. Pitching looks tired. Bullpen looks tired. Everybody looks tired. But, there's no rest for the wicked, I think is the saying, right? Like, you've got a tough series continuing against Cleveland. Back at home, you know, and then it doesn't get any easier from there, like you mentioned, with Minnesota and then the Yankees. I've seen a lot of chatter about this on social media, and I think it's extremely unlikely, probably a non-factor whatsoever, but I've seen enough chatter about it. I want to get your take on it. Is there any chance whatsoever that the Royals look at trying to rush and bring up Jack Kikilegione to the big league squad by the end of this season. I mean, or is this something that's he's a future guy down the road? They're not even going to mess with that.
I would be shocked beyond belief if they called Jack up. That would just amaze me. You know, he by no means is ready to come to the majors. Yeah. And, you know, rushing him in is the kind of thing that I've seen some other teams do over the decades just to get fans in the ballpark. But, that's usually when they're far out of the race. I think it would be a big mistake to bring Jack up. Not saying it won't happen, but I don't think that's in JJ Pecola's universe right now.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, like I mentioned, the chatter and the rumblings of Caglione and, you know, maybe even Blake Mitchell and some of these, you know, other guys that are further down, you know, in the farm system about trying to come up and help the Royals now. But as you mentioned, you know, I think that the best scenario is for them to still continue to develop and get the kinds of reps and time in the minors that they need. They can absolutely be impact players at the major league level. I just don't think that, I think it shows a little bit of, you know, or a lot maybe of desperation on the Royals' part if they were to go that route. And that doesn't, to your point a few minutes ago about JJ Pecola, that doesn't seem to be his MO in the way that he operates.
Right. I think you're exactly right.
You have one more, Paul?
Just one quick short one. I know you're on top of things. You know, earlier in the year, we had all kinds of conversations with regards to the Royals moving the stadium to the Kansas side. It seems like we haven't heard much about it lately, Tommy, have you? There's no news, really.
Yeah, not a ton.
Not a ton of news going on. I figured if anybody had their ear to the ground, it would be a guy like you, Mike. So give me a breakdown real quick. Where are the Royals, as best you can tell, with regards to making a move to the Kansas side of the state line?
Well, you know, I thought that the chances were fairly good when the legislature just, you know, jumped right in the deep end with that and offered him the star bonds or, you know, the opportunity to try to get those. But this latest thing where they're going to try to kind of squeeze a ballpark, or they're talking about squeezing a ballpark in roughly across the street from Union Station, I think that might go. The mayor is really pushing that hard. He's saying that they can probably do that without the kind of tax money that the Royals and Chiefs were, you know, asking from the Jackson County taxpayers. But so with that recent development, I'd be kind of surprised if the Royals crossed the state line. I really would.
Real quick, Mike, before we let you go, Kings of Kauffman, you know, is the website, obviously the socials. I know you've been doing a lot of writing, especially as things have been progressing over the last few days or so. What can folks find at kingsofkauffman.com?
Well, that's a good question. You know, you kind of asked me something similar last week, but, you know, we don't just, you know, report the games. Yeah. We give a lot of opinion and analysis. We're watching the injuries pretty closely. One of the other guys had a story up early this morning about the injury status. So I think you're going to see from us down the stretch a lot of quick reaction to some events, some analysis about, you know, what players can they bring in. And we'll have a mix of a few other things. I've got a Salvador Perez story I really want to write. I may wait till the off season to do it. And this is also about the time of year that we'll be starting to mix in some things about, you know, what JJ is going to do over the winter, who's going to be back, who isn't going to be back. But primarily we're going to be focused on this race. You know, some pregame, some postgame, stuff like that.
Well, it's going to be interesting for sure. And so, of course, folks can check all of that out at kingsofkauffman.com. And, of course, you can follow Kings of Kauffman on social there at Kings of Kauffman. Mike, we appreciate your time as always. Hopefully next Tuesday we'll have a little bit more positive news to talk about. We'll talk to you then. We appreciate it.
So thanks, guys.
All right, there goes Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman joining us here on Sports Daily. We're going to take a timeout, wrapping up hour number one here. On the other side, we've got back-to-back interviews. Dan Israel from the Chiefs Radio Network will join us, talking about the Chiefs opener in just over 48 hours from now against the Ravens. That's on the other side as we start off hour number two at Sports Daily. We're coming right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.